From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati says need to build integrity through anti-graft push to revive economy. Archipelago Day momentum to realize blue economy. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati has said efforts to strengthen integrity through an anti-corruption movement must be carried out in Indonesia, including by the Ministry of Finance, to support economic recovery. The ranks of the Ministry of Finance must remind themselves and strengthen their commitment to integrity. This was stated by the minister at the main event at the Ministry of Finance's 2022 International Anti-Corruption Day commemoration on Tuesday, as quoted by Antara. Indrawati also said after she visited more than 100 countries when she was serving as the managing director of the World Bank, she came to believe that governance, corruption, and institutional arrangements greatly determine the progress of a country. The commemoration of Archipelago Day every December 13 is a strategic attempt to explore more regional potentials that could support the implementation of the blue economy. This was conveyed by Indonesian Investment Minister Bahlil Lahadalia in a statement issued on Tuesday, as quoted by Antara. He also noted Wakatobi District in Southeast Sulawesi Province has been chosen as the venue for the series of Archipelago Day commemorations this year, since the region has a rich maritime potential. For instance, it has the second largest national marine park in Indonesia. Next, we have the establishment of the Archipelagic and Island States Forum, which was initiated by Indonesia in 2018, was part of an effort to realize the country's vision to become a global maritime axis. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, made the remarks virtually at the 2022 Archipelago Day commemoration in Wakatobi District, Southeast Sulawesi Province, on Tuesday, as quoted by Antara. He also conveyed Indonesia's strive to realize the great ideals of the Juanda Declaration by uniting all archipelagic and island countries in the world through the Archipelagic and Island States Forum. The last national news comes from People's Consultative Assembly, or MPRRI, Deputy Speaker Lestari Murdiat, who underscored maritime development as the aspect that should be prioritized to realize prosperity. As quoted by Antara, Murdiat noted on Nusantara Day this year, developing the maritime sector as a national mainstay and integrating the process with the development of outermost and remote islands is a strategic step to accelerate development. He also explained the concept of an archipelago country conceived by then Prime Minister Juanda Kartawijaya on December 13, 1957, through the Juanda Declaration, must be the cornerstone of this nation in realizing strategic measures in national development. Now we move to the international news. China is facing a very tough time as it dismantles its rigid zero-COVID policy and allows people to live with the virus, posing challenges preparing hospitals and ensuring people are sufficiently protected. It was stated by the World Health Organization as quoted by ChannelNewsAsia.com. Beijing abruptly dropped its zero-tolerance stance last week after protests against its COVID-19 lockdowns. The shift, welcomed by many inside the country, has also stoked concerns that infections could spike. With a smash of champagne bottles against their hulls, two new Invincible-class submarines were christened by the Republic of Singapore Navy on Tuesday. As quoted by ChannelNewsAsia.com, named Impeccable and Illustrious, the submarines are the second and third of four customized Type 218SG submarines built by ThyssenKrupp Marine Systems for the Ministry of Defense. Invincible was launched in 2019 at a ceremony also held at the TKMS shipyard in Kiel. We end the news with China that has sent a record 18 nuclear-capable H-6 bomber aircraft into Taiwan's air defense zone, the island's defense ministry said on Tuesday, as Beijing continues to step up pressure on the self-ruled island. As reported by CNN.com, the 18 bombers were part of 21 total Chinese warplanes sent into Taiwan's Southwest Air Defense Identification Zone. The ministry said it monitored the situation and employed its fighter jets as well as land-based missile systems to track the Chinese plans. Well, listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Listener, today's Diplomatic Corner highlights the Embassy of Indonesia in Khartoum appreciated participants of Indonesian Class 2022. 20 Sundanese participants of Indonesian class for foreign speakers, or namely well-known BIPA, attended the closing of the BIPA class 2022 at the courtyard of the Embassy of Indonesia in Khartoum on Thursday. The Indonesian class program lasted for 1 month, starting in early November. The series of closing events began with a remark from the representative of the participants, Abdurrahim Juma Adam. He expressed his appreciation to the Ambassador of Indonesia, Sunarko, and the extended family of the Embassy of Indonesia in Khartoum, who had given them the opportunity to learn Indonesian and get to know the abundance of Indonesian culture. Abdurrahim hopes that in the future, the Embassy of Indonesia in Khartoum will hold the advanced level of Indonesian for foreign speakers class for Sundanese people. Ambassador Sunarko in his remark expressed his appreciation to the participants who enthusiastically participate in the Indonesian class for 1 month. He also said that the Indonesian class was intended to strengthen the relations between the two countries and to enhance the comprehension of the Sundanese young generations and college students as true friends of Indonesia about Indonesia with its various aspects, including its language and cultural diversity. The event continued with the handing over of certificates to the course participants. As a form of appreciation and motivation for the participants, Ambassador Sunarko gave batik clothes as the souvenirs to 3 best participants. They are Wala Muhammad Al-Diab, Marwa Al-Tayyib Al-Agib, and Aisa Tabid Mohamed. Completing the evening's event, the participants show their ability and proficiency in daily Indonesian conversation very well about the Ambassador of Indonesia and all other participants. At the end of the event, the participants were treated to typical Indonesian snacks such as bakso tahu and es pisang hijau and enjoy listening Indonesian songs at the same time. Well, listener, that's Diplomatic Corner.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on December 14, 1949 about the signing of the Constitutional Charter of the United Republic of Indonesia, or RIS. After independence, the Netherlands didn't necessarily recognize Indonesian sovereignty. To end this conflict, various negotiations were held between Indonesia and the Netherlands, namely Linggarjati, Renville, and Roundtable negotiations, which decided to establish the United Republic of Indonesia. On December 14, 1949, in Jakarta, a meeting was held which was attended by representatives of the Indonesian government and the state or regional governments that will become the United States of Indonesia. The meeting discussed and approved the Provisional Constitution as the Constitution of the United States of Indonesia. The charter entered into force since the establishment of the United States of Indonesia was ratified on December 27, 1949. Moving on to an event on December 14, 1981, when Israel passed the Golan Heights Act. The Golan Heights is a plateau on the border of Israel, Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria. Previously, this area was Syrian territory, but Israel captured the Golan Heights from Syrian hands in 1967 during the Six-Day War. On December 14, 1981, Israel passed a law regarding the Golan Heights. The content of the Golan Heights Law read that the law, jurisdiction, and administration of the State of Israel governs the territory of the Golan Heights. We end today in history with an event on December 14, 1995, when the Dayton Agreement was signed. The Dayton Agreement was an agreement to end the Yugoslav War, which had been going on for 3 years. The war was an ethnic conflict between Yugoslavs, mostly between Serbs against Croats, Bosnians and Albanians, Bosnians and Croats, while in Macedonia it was between Macedonians and Albanians. This agreement was concluded at Wright-Patterson Air Station in Dayton, Ohio. This peace agreement was signed in Paris, France on December 14, 1995. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about my Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Asian Development Bank ADB approved a loan worth $138.52 million to support the government of Indonesia strategies on the commercialization of research and innovation. The loan is also used to enhance the success of startups in Indonesia for science and technology areas. The projects to strengthen research and innovation areas through modern and efficient science and technology will support science and technology areas in a number of well-known state higher education institutions, namely the Bandung Institute of Technology, Gajah Mada University, Bogor Agricultural Institute, and University of Indonesia. This was stated by ADB's Senior Social Sector Specialist for Southeast Asia, Phuc Yen Chun, in his official statement on Saturday. According to Phuc Yen Chun, this project will support the improvement of research, innovation, and startup incubation facilities, provide grants for the implementation of applied research and startup incubation, and enhance the expertise of science and technology area researchers and the ability of research and innovation management staff. He also added that through this project, various industries in Indonesia which cooperate with the science and technology areas at the four universities will gain the necessary knowledge to use resources better, create new products, and enter new markets. ADB expects that the adoptions of new technology in Indonesia can add 0.55 percentage points to annual growth in gross domestic products over the next 20 years, thereby pushing Indonesia's economy into the group of high-income countries. In addition, the project will help strengthen the area of science and technology in various fields of technology that are in line with the needs of Indonesia's priority economic sectors, such as renewable energy and electric and autonomous vehicle storage and transportation technologies. Then, there are also information and communication technology, processing of agricultural and food products, health technology, as well as pharmaceuticals and medicines. According to Phuc Yen, this project will also strengthen public-private partnerships, increase the competitiveness and productivities of the workforce, along with the development and adoptions of new technologies, as well as strengthen entrepreneurships and job creation for young people.
Sejak kau ada di dunia, aku tak menyangka. Tetapi aku percaya, dan waktu terus berlalu, kau buat semuanya. Kulihat keajaiban, kau jatuh dari surga.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Indonesian for today will invite you to visit Pinus Tilu Riverside Pengalengan. Listeners, Pengalengan is a district in Bandung Regency, West Java, whose landscape is still beautiful. In Pengalengan, there are many charming natural attractions. One of the most interesting and viral attractions on social media is Pinus Tilu Riverside. Pinus Tilu Riverside offers camping facilities which are located on the riverside and in the middle of a stunning pine forest. Pinus Tilu is located in the Rahong Pine Forest area and is on the edge of the Palayangan River, Pengalengan, or more precisely in Pulau Sari Village, Pengalengan District, Bandung Regency. You can visit Pinus Tilu with several nearby tourism attractions, such as the Rahong Pine Forest. You can even go rafting on the Palayangan River. This area is also located adjacent to Situ Cilenca in Pengalengan. Able to camp at Pinus Tilu, you only need to spend 500,000 rupiah until 650,000 rupiah, depending on the type of tent you choose, because there are many types of tents. There is one with capacity of 4 to 6 people. Camping time at Pinus Tilu starts from 2 p.m. until 12 p.m. Apart from camping, you can also go around the river area by rafting. Barbecue cooking utensils are provided in each tent. So please bring your own food or ingredients because you only get breakfast. You have to book a place in advance to anticipate a full slot. Always follow updates about Pinus Tilu on its official Instagram account, especially during this pandemic. Don't forget to bring your camera to capture your best moments here. That's Indonesian Wonder.
Jangan dekat atau jangan datang kepadaku lagi. Aku semakin tersiksa karena tak memilikimu. Ku coba jalani hari dengan pengganti dirimu, tapi hatiku selalu berpihak lagi padamu. Mengapa semua ini terjadi kepadaku? Tuhan, maafkan diri ini yang tak pernah bisa menjauh dari angan tentangnya. Namun apalah daya ini bila ternyata sesungguhnya aku terlalu cinta dia. Tapi hatiku selalu berpihak lagi padamu. Mengapa semua ini terjadi kepadaku?
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian, is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is about Perjalanan ke Manado. Perjalanan ke Manado, which means a trip to Manado. So stay tuned! We're going to present you a conversation entitled Lebih Variatif Daripada di Restoran Sebelah. Lebih variatif daripada di restoran sebelah, which means it is more varied than the other restaurants. This conversation happens between Dev Singh, a tourist from India, Mona, and Dev. Mona and Dev are eating in a popular restaurant in Manado, North Sulawesi. Mona says the menu in the restaurant is more varied than the other restaurant. Now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word two times and you can repeat after me. Menu, menu, which means menu. Di sini, which means here. Lebih variatif, which means more varied. Daripada, daripada, which means than. Di restoran sebelah, which means the other restaurant. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, menu di sini lebih variatif daripada di restoran sebelah, menu di sini lebih variatif daripada di restoran sebelah. Which means, the menu here is more varied than the other restaurant. In the sentence, there is an expression lebih variatif daripada di restoran sebelah. Lebih variatif daripada di restoran sebelah. Which means, more varied than the other restaurant. The expression lebih daripada, which means more than, is used to compare two or more than two different things. To make comparison, you can put an adjective, such as variatif, which means varied, between the words lebih, which means more, and daripada, which means than. Let's listen to the other examples of comparative sentences by using the other adjectives, such as enak, which means delicious, and murah, which means cheap. Makanan di sini lebih enak daripada di restoran sebelah. Makanan di sini lebih enak daripada di restoran sebelah, which means the food here is more delicious than the other restaurant. Makanan di sini lebih murah daripada di restoran sebelah. Makanan di sini lebih murah daripada di restoran sebelah. Which means, the food here is cheaper than the other restaurant. You need to differentiate the use of lebih blah 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 daripada blah blah blah. Which means, more blah 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 than blah blah blah. From lebih dari. Which means, more than. The comparison expression lebih daripada, which means more than, is used to compare two or more than two things, while the expression lebih dari, which means more than, is used to state a quantity such as price. For example, harga lobster bakar di restoran ini lebih dari Rp100.000 per porsi. Harga lobster bakar di restoran ini lebih dari Rp100.000 per porsi, which means the grilled lobster in this restaurant is more than Rp100.000 per portion. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Dia berlalu meninggalkan semua hanya untuknya. Tiada kata berpisah bila harus berakhir segalanya. Thank you.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, to this edition of Music Corner, we're gonna play you a song from North Sumatra entitled Sik Sik Si Batu Manikam. This typical Batak song is sung not only at Batak or native North Sumatran traditional events, but also on various occasions. The fast tempo and cheerful rhythm makes this song lovable. It is not known who wrote it, but many people know the song Sik Sik Si Batu Manikam. There are lots of people rearrange this song. It has various versions such as choir version at an international competition or a rock version by a band. Alright listener, here is Oval Trio version of Sik Sik Si Batu Manikam. Happy listening!
Sik 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 batu manikam di parjoget sarumanikam.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you. Rintik si pata sa mundang ngong-ngong ang mama.
We end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.